May-21-2011.com. Once again, that's May-21-2011.com with another study in the book of Revelation. We have been studying Revelation chapter 13, the last time we did verse 6, and this day, or Thanksgiving weekend, we will be covering verse 7. Let me read that verse, and then we'll go into our introduction, and then we'll discuss that verse in more detail, and then we'll end with a conclusion and summary. The verse reads, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Today, we continue with our study, as I already said, in Revelation 13. And we're now on verse 7 of that chapter. The title of the study is "The Beast Made War With and Overcame the Saints." And he was given power over all peoples. And this all took place during the Great Tribulation. In this study, besides refreshing our minds as to who the true saints were and still are, we will see just how and why the beast, that is Satan, his fallen angels, his counterfeit Christians and unsaved people, made war against the saints and overcame them during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988, when, according to the biblical timeline of history, the church age ended and judgment began with the house of God until May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day, which consists of many days, came. Not only upon the whole world, but also continued to come upon all the Christian churches worldwide, even to this day. We will also learn that what it meant that the beast was given power over all kindreds and tongues and nations during the Great Tribulation, and its significance also even unto this day. Now, even as earthly fathers do discipline or chastise their children as needed, our Heavenly Father did greatly discipline His true children, His saints, unto holiness during the Great Tribulation. May we be reminded of this in this study so that we never allow ourselves to sin and share in the sins of others ever again. O Lord, please anoint your word to our hearts to see truth and walk in the truth forever. Reveal marvelous things and uncover hidden things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me read verse 7 once again. It reads, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." In our last study that you can click on to see, we learned that the beast, that is Satan, his fallen angels, and his counterfeit Christians in the churches, spoke blasphemy, that's lies, against God. To blaspheme his name, that is to lie about everything that God is, and to blaspheme, that is to lie about, his tabernacle, who we learned are them that dwell in heaven, namely God's chosen here on earth, who are spiritually in heaven, as well as, although it was not mentioned in our last study, those who are God's chosen but no longer on this earth, but in heaven. The beast accomplished these lies against God and his people during the Great Tribulation, from May 21, 1988, when the well-proven biblical timeline of history that you can click on to see that it is well-proven and does come directly from the Word of God, taught us that the church age ended and judgment began with the house of God using the beast, that is Satan, his demons, and his counterfeit Christians, to completely take and rule over all the Christian churches worldwide by September 7 of 1994 of the Great Tribulation, until Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, when the same judgment that had begun at the house of God or temple, that is all the Christian churches worldwide, also came upon the entire world with no eternal life any longer possible for anyone. According to Revelation 9, verses 1 through 5, and verses 6 through 12 in that same chapter that you click on to see, that we did not look at in our last study, but a while back, which you can click on and read to refresh your memories. Spiritual and invisible locusts that have tails like scorpions that sting humankind have been unleashed upon the world to eat up their good spiritual fruits, such as human rights and freedoms, and to sting them with their tails, with the proclamation by the elect that they can no longer be eternally saved. And we have now been seeing this happened right before our very eyes as Satan uses the so-called global elite, who are really the global degenerate, deep state, liberal uniparty, self-declared ruling class, United Nations, World Economic Forum, or whatever you want to call them, to try and take over the whole earth to the harm of the peoples. They even think they have the right to take away the lives of people because they are eugenists who think that the world population must be decreased if we are not to outgrow the earth's resources. And they are too lost and foolish to realize that none of it matters because Christ will come and destroy this world along with them before the world could ever be destroyed by overpopulation. The problems of this world are not due to overpopulation, but to the deceit and wicked hearts of people like them. As we read in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" According to these evil eugenists, murder is a good thing. And they have been murdering, maiming, and sterilizing millions of people by their completely man-made and purposely released COVID bioweapon and death shot vaccine. And the very people that are being murdered and maimed paid for it all by their own tax money. They funded their own deaths by being deceived. And they thought Hitler was bad. But the worst thing, of course, is that every one of them that were not eternally saved through Christ by May 21, 2011, will be resurrected on the last day to suffer even more as they are cast into the lake of fire for their sins to never live again in the, they'll be cast into the lake of fire, that is, for their sins to never live again in the blackness of nothing. Anyway, our current verse of study is Revelation 13, 7, as I said, which begins by reading, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them." Let's first notice that it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Him, of course, refers to the beast, and since the beast refers to Satan, his demons and his unsaved people and counterfeit Christians, it would be better to have translated him, which refers to the beast, as it. Because this beast is neither him nor her, but it. Indeed, the Greek language allows for either him, her, or it, depending on the context. But the beast, as a whole, does not have one sex per se, so it must be it. Next, notice that this beast was given to make war with the saints. The verb was given is in the indicative mood, aorist tense, and passive voice of the Greek. The aorist tense in the indicative mood refers to a point in the past when the beast was given to make war with the saints. And the passive voice means that this beast did not give itself to make war with the saints, for it was passive in the matter. But it was given by someone or something else to make war against the saints. And you can click on Greek verbs for more information on that. And just like we had found in verse 5 that you can click on to see of Revelation 13, that it was God who gave unto the beast a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies during the great tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. So here also, staying in the same context, we must conclude it was God himself who gave to the beast to make war with the saints. In other words, during the great tribulation, God used the beast, Satan, his demons, counterfeit Christians, and unsaved people to make war against the saints. And if you will remember, we went over in past studies that he was loosed from the pit in which he was bound at the cross on May 21, 1988, to bring God's judgment against God's very own church. And who are the saints? Normally, we would look up this Greek word hagios, that is translated as saints or holy ones, everywhere it takes place in the Bible, to see how God defines the word. But it is such common knowledge to those who study the Bible, even just a little, that this word refers to those who are truly saved and believe in Jesus Christ, the elect, that it is not necessary for us to waste time on that particular subject here. Unfortunately, the Catholic Church, that wicked Catholic Church, has misled many on this subject because they have defined saints as those who have done sufficient good works according to the judgments of their church leaders. But that is a complete misconception of the term saints or holy ones. For in God's eyes, no human, except Christ himself, could ever do enough good and perfect enough works to be called a saint. No, it was when people were born from above by May 21, 2011 into eternal life as a gift through the faith of Jesus Christ at the hand of God alone when those people became saints. It had nothing to do with their own works, but the works of Christ on their behalf by his death on the cross and resurrection to pay for and cover their sins, past, present, and future sins, so that God now legally sees them as being newly resurrected souls without any sin. Therefore, they are holy ones, saints by the calling and choosing of God alone. Thus, just like we all, that is the elect, were eternally saved, we also became saints, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. Indeed, it is by grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. And every person who God has gifted with eternal life to be a saint or holy one is a saint who is on equal standing with every other saint. Because having become a saint had nothing to do with them or their works, but everything to do with being gifted from God alone. And even the good works which Christ's saints now do are also not due to them, but of God alone. As we read in Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Therefore, it is foolishness and idolatry to venerate, for instance, Jesus' mother Mary, or any other saint for that matter, since they themselves did not do any great works. But God himself did the great and good works through them." So Mary is nothing. The Apostle Paul is nothing. The Apostle Peter is nothing. I am nothing. You are nothing. But God alone is good and works everything. Therefore, worship Christ alone and put away your venerations of anyone else. Take down your pictures and paintings of Mother Mary, your statues of her, or any other saints for that matter. And absolutely do not bow down to them either in your hearts or on your knees. Throw away your Saint Christophers and praying to the dead. They cannot help you. Only one should be prayed to, namely Christ. For he is the only mediator. There is no other mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2, 5. Christ. And remove from your hearts the venerations of any true believer or person except Christ, for they are all nothing. There is only one who is good and deserving of your veneration and worship, and that is God alone. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three different persons, each being that one and only same God. And to see that that is taught in the Bible, you can click on God as a Trinity for all the biblical support. Veneration of any saint by putting up pictures or statues of them as if there's something higher or some higher status than any of the other saints that were saved through Jesus Christ, or bowing down to them, is a snare unto idolatry. But now, we have to face the fact that during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988, to May 21, 2011, God gave to the beast, that is Satan, his demons, counterfeit Christians, and unsaved people, to make war or battle against his own saints, that is against the true believers in the churches. And why did God give to the beast to make war against his very own people in the churches during the Great Tribulation? Well, the saints, same as the elect, were still in the churches when God had abandoned the churches beginning on May 21, 1988. And that is when the saints should have departed out and abandoned the churches as well. But they did not. Instead, they remained in the churches for some years before they finally realized that they must depart out. And by still being a part of what had become the abandoned, now evil and unholy church of the devil, from which the Holy Spirit had departed out from, God viewed his own saints who remained in the churches at that time as sharing in all their sins. Therefore, the saints needed to be chastised or disciplined to repentance, to see that they must depart out from all the churches worldwide in obedience to their master, Jesus Christ, to escape God's judgment that had come upon them by their remaining in the now unholy church. Now, the way in which the saints who remained in their churches even after the Holy Spirit did depart out, beginning on May 21, 1988, were disciplined or chastised by their Heavenly Father was by their being spiritually killed. That is, silenced in the church so that they could not bring the truths of God's Word in their own churches, but instead the true saints were silenced by being ignored, separated from, spiritually oppressed by Satan and his demons, treated badly, called false prophets, and in some cases even cast out from their own churches. And for more information on the killing of those two witnesses who are the elect, you can click on Revelation 11, verses 7 through 10. Through such chastisement from the Father, the saints came to realize through the Holy Scriptures that they must repent and depart out from all their Christian churches worldwide to escape God's wrath or the sins of that church that they were in. In fact, the sins of all the Christian churches worldwide would be accounted to them because they were still being a part of that body. And so the sins in that one single body, those sins in any church that was in that body was accounted to the saints. But they could not bring the truth in regard to many false teachings, and they also couldn't bring the truth in regard to many false teachings and practices in the Christian churches during the Great Tribulation. And even unto this day, such as, for instance, they're allowing for divorce when Christ clearly taught that the two are one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not any human put it asunder, including some pagan judge in a pagan court system. Matthew 19:6, Mark 10:9, and click on divorce, the big lie, for more details. Then there was, and still is, their following or allowing for remarriage before the previous spouse has physically died, when God said one is bound for life to their spouse and cannot therefore remarry, even if they have separated, unless their spouse has first physically died. Once again, click on divorce, the big lie, and for that message in detail. Then there was and still is the sinful allowing for women pastors, elders or bishops. Elders and bishops are basically the same offices. When God says the qualification for such is they be a husband, that is, a man of one wife, 2 Timothy 3:2, 1 Timothy 2:12. Then there was and still is their sinful allowing for women speaking during the church service when God commands them to be silent, 1 Corinthians 14:34. Then there was and still is their sinful allowing for women teachers of men when God says they are not to teach nor usurp authority over a man. For it was the woman who was deceived and not Adam. Notice it had nothing to do with the culture. It wasn't because cultures changed or cultures became different. It was because the woman was first deceived and not Adam. Therefore, that transcends all cultures and should still be obeyed even today. 1 Timothy 2, verse 12. Boy, have the churches drifted a long way from where they should be. Then there was and still is their sinful allowing for men who have divorced and remarried when their previous wife or wives are still living to become pastors, elders, or bishops, when God said they must be husbands of just one wife, not two or more wives, as they would have if their previous wife or wives are still living. For Christ still sees each spouse that they think they divorced in pagan courts, that is the public court system, as still being their wives until they have physically died. Once again, click on Divorce the Big Lie for details on that. Then there was also, and still is, their false teaching and practice of allowing women to hold the office of deacon in some of the churches, when God says that deacons must be husbands, therefore men of one wife. They really misinterpret on this one. And many of the churches were and still are just not obeying God to make sure that their pastors, elders, or bishops, those are the ones that were to be the rulers, the shepherds, over the local churches and congregations, as well as the deacons, they're not making sure they're qualified according to what God teaches. In 1 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 13, no, they've made up their own rules, and they've made their own decisions, and in most cases, they just think God's law is too strict. It just doesn't work out that way. We're in a different culture, different time. They use all those kind of excuses, which is why God's judgment has come upon them. The churches became and still are full of unqualified pastors and elders and deacons according to God's word. And the result has been the spiritual destruction of the church as God's judgment against them. For the pastors, elders, teachers, and leaders led and still lead the churches in many false teachings and practices. Read Jeremiah chapter 23 sometime as to what God thinks about the shepherds or the leaders of the church. If they were true rulers and leaders, they would have warned the people of God's judgment upon them before or during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. And they would have led their people to obey Christ and depart out from all the churches worldwide. For the church age had ended. There were and still are, of course, many other false things in the church as a whole, to include all the Christian churches worldwide, that led to God bringing his judgment upon them beginning on May 21, 1988, at the end of the church age, and even to this day. For instance, the false teaching of infant baptism. Not only the garbage of the Catholic Church that is way off base by thinking that infant baptism by the hands of men removes original sin, but also the garbage of the Reformed churches, except, of course, the Reformed Baptists, who see this issue correctly, that think that the old ordinance of outward circumcision has become the ordinance of outward physical baptism, when the truth is, the ordinance of outward circumcision was completely fulfilled at the cross and therefore abolished when Christ was cut off in the flesh for our sins. The ordinance of water baptism is something new, but this is all a longer discussion with not enough time in this study. But let me say this. There is a different explanation for the so-called household baptisms than virtually all the Reformed churches think. Another false teaching in many of the evangelical churches of our day is dispensational premillennialism. And boy, has that teaching completely chopped up and butchered the Word of God. They say this scripture is of that dispensation, and this one is of that dispensation, and this one is of that dispensation. They have completely butchered the Word of God, which incorrectly teaches that the nation of Israel will bring forth much fruit of salvation through Jesus Christ in the near future, when Christ taught the exact opposite, that the nation of Israel would be cursed forever to never bring forth the fruit of salvation in Christ. And you can click here on this link, then scroll down to the subheading entitled The Fig Tree Parable for all the details on that. They also falsely teach that the Great Tribulation and the Antichrist have not yet come, when they already have, and that they will either be raptured out before the Great Tribulation or midway into the Great Tribulation, or at some other time in the Great Tribulation, when the Bible clearly teaches that the rapture will come on the last day of this world, which will come on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. And you can click on the link, When is the Rapture, to see this. They also falsely teach that the holy place will be in the rebuilt Jewish temple, when God says that it is not any longer the holy place, nor ever will be, since the veil of that temple was rent in two at the cross in 33 AD to signify that it was no longer the holy place forever. Matthew 27:51, Mark 15:38, Luke 23:45. But there, after, wherever the true believers in Christ gathered, would be the new holy place. They even falsely teach that after the Great Tribulation, Christ will return or reign on this sin-cursed earth for 1,000 literal years from Jerusalem, when God teaches that Christ already reigned for the 1,000 years. Because the 1,000 years was symbolic of the completeness of years from when Christ rose from the dead on 33 AD to the end of the church age on May 21, 1988, when Satan was released from the bottomless pit to bring God's judgment upon the church first, and then upon the whole world next. You can click on Revelation 20, verses 1 through 8, to see that this whole 1,000-year reign on earth garbage is exactly that, garbage. Then there were and still are many more false teachings in the churches that led to God's judgment upon them in regard to the end time. For instance, there was and still is the false teaching of postmillennialism, primarily in the so-called Reformed churches, which teaches falsely that the world will eventually become completely Christianized. But they say this could take hundreds, if not thousands, of years of the gospel going out to the world, when God teaches that the gospel age already ended, when the church age ended on May 21, 1988, and that we are now in the final phase of this world, which is Judgment Day, that we are now in. Therefore, postmillennialism certainly cannot be true. In fact, none of the church's views on the end times are correct, whether it be what's called historic premillennialism, although this is much better than dispensational premillennialism, preterism that sees almost the entire book of Revelation as being fulfilled already in the first century AD, they just don't recognize that what literally happened in the first century AD was a type or foreshadow of what would take place spiritually in our day. Then there's postmillennialism, and even amillennialism is not completely true, although it is probably closest to the truth compared to all those previously mentioned. My point being is that God said in Daniel, I think it was chapter 7 or perhaps chapter 9, that the Antichrist would come to rule in the churches. He's called the abomination in Daniel, abomination of desolation. He comes to change the laws and the times. And boy, the churches have changed the laws of God, as we've shown a reflection of already. And they've changed the times. They don't recognize we're right at the end. Postmillennials think it's hundreds, thousands of years yet to come. The dispensationals, premillennials, that teach the 1,000-year reign and that the final tribulation hasn't even come yet, and they're looking for a physical man to be the Antichrist. And God may give them exactly what they want, but it's all a delusion. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, says that God is feeding them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. This is all this falsehood being taught through the churches that were once of God's own people is a clear sign of God's judgment upon them. But they can't see it. They're completely blind. They've been fed a strong delusion from God. And if you're still in the church, you too are being fed a strong delusion unless you depart out. Perhaps God can begin to open your hearts and minds to the truth, if it be still possible. Of course, salvation is no longer possible, but perhaps you were saved before May 21, 2011 began, and you just haven't come to the full understanding or illumination that you're to depart out from your church. If that be the case, and you do depart out, so that God can begin to illuminate your mind in a true way and not a false way, perhaps you'll begin to see the truth. Well, then there were and still are many more false things in the churches that led to God's judgment upon them in regard to the end time. For instance, let's mention a few more of the false things that brought God's judgment upon the churches, even though I couldn't possibly touch all of them in any depth during this one study. But let's mention a few more which come to mind, such as the false notion that God is still giving direct revelation through voices, new writings, dreams, visions, tongues, so-called words of knowledge, prophecy, and the like. Even though God said in about 95 AD, it is believed to be, at the end of his last direct revelation to his church, which ended the true canon of Scripture, namely the book of Revelation, in Revelation 22:18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." By saying this, God let us know that by the end of the first century, in 95 AD, when it was believed that the book of Revelation was completed, there would no longer be any person that would receive direct messages from God. For that would be an addition. It would be equivalent to the Word of God through a person. Therefore, direct messages from God in voices, new writings, dreams, visions, tongues, so-called words of knowledge, prophecy, and the like came to an end by the end of the first century AD. And all the churches and people that still practice these things are a lie. In fact, God used this charismatic or deceptively called full gospel to infiltrate many of the churches as part of his judgment plan against the church as a whole. Not all the churches fell prey to this aspect of God's judgment, but many did. And it was through these type of churches that many false prophets arose with lying signs and wonders such as miraculous healings, counterfeit salvations, direct messages from God in voices, dreams, visions, tongues, so-called words of knowledge, prophecy, and the like, and even the touching of people on their foreheads to make them fall backward, which we will discover in our eventual study of Revelation 13, verse 13, is the fulfillment of what we are therein told is the calling down of fire from heaven by the beast in the presence of men. And as we will see when we study Revelation 13, 13, because the sign and wonder of making people fall backward is the fulfillment of the beast calling fire down from heaven in the presence of men, this gives further evidence that the biblical timeline of history that you can click on is accurate. For this falling backward of people by the false prophets touching them on their foreheads became especially apparent in the churches exactly during the time period that the biblical timeline teaches that it would, namely during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. Could that just be a coincidence? Absolutely not. Let God be true and every man a liar. Stop and think about it. Christ had forewarned about the rise of false prophets in the churches during the Great Tribulation near the end of the world, who would come with signs and wonders to deceive God's elect if that were possible. Matthew 24:24 and Mark 13:22. Then we will learn in Revelation 13, verse 13, that one of those signs and wonders would be the calling down of fire from heaven in the presence of men during the Great Tribulation, which, when we get to that verse, we will show was fulfilled already by the beast, making people fall backwards through his counterfeit Christians, touching them on their foreheads. And that being the case, we have just another piece of evidence that the biblical timeline of history from God's holy scripture is quite accurate. Otherwise, how could the fulfillment of the calling down of fire from heaven in the presence of men during the Great Tribulation, which tribulation we already learned is what Revelation 13 is all about, have actually taken place during the exact time period from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, that the biblical timeline reveals was the time period of the Great Tribulation. Therefore, the teaching of Revelation 13 matches well with the biblical timeline of history. And that is not by coincidence, but by design. Beloved, there is just so much evidence and proof for the accuracy of the biblical timeline of history, and you click on this link to study it. This is how we can be sure that Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, and judgment on all the Christian churches began on May 21, 1988. Don't let yourselves be deceived. But now, even the churches that did not fall prey to the charismatic false gospel had various other false teachings that led to God bringing His judgment upon them as well. Besides those false teachings and practices already mentioned, it would require many, many more messages to even begin to cover all the falsehood that infiltrated all the various Christian churches that made up the house or temple of God, the church, that is all the Christian churches worldwide, in leading up to and through the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, and even to this day. Nevertheless, one of the most deceptive and insidious false teachings of the devil in the churches was and still is the false teaching that Christ died for everyone. And now it is up to each individual person to accept or choose Christ to obtain their salvation. Or they may not believe that Christ died for everyone because they know the Bible better than the others. But they still preach and teach that one must accept or choose Christ to be eternally saved, so that it is at least partially up to the people themselves as to whether they become saved. They may even admit that God does most of a person's salvation, but they still think that the person plays, at the very least, a small part in his or her salvation. These false gospels are everywhere. They are the gospels that think by saying the sinner's prayer, for instance, that one becomes saved. Or by coming forward to an altar call, one becomes saved. Or by being baptized, one becomes saved. Or by speaking in tongues, one becomes saved. I think those are the United Pentecostals. What all these false gospels have in common is that the individual must do something to become saved, even if it is just that one must believe to be saved. They all say that Christ died for your sins, even though the truth is they have no idea as to whether Christ died for your sins or anyone else's sins. For many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 22:14. And they have no idea whether you are one of the chosen ones that Christ actually did die for. Nevertheless, they then say you have to do something yourself to become saved, like believe, or accept Christ into your heart, or you must join our church and obey our sacraments, or church confessions, or some other such thing, without making it clear that the only reason that anyone can even believe with all their heart unto salvation is because of the gift of faith that God gives only to His few chosen elect. He does not give such saving faith to everyone. In fact, the rest of the people may believe, but it is a believing that does not come from God, but from themselves. These are false or counterfeit gospels. According to the Holy Scripture, Christ did not die for everyone, but only His people. For we read in Romans 8, verses 28 through 30, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Thus, up until Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, when any possibility for eternal life came to an end for all who had not already been eternally saved, people could never become saved by doing something like just believing, or by doing anything else for that matter. But they were saved entirely because of God alone, who chose only a particular few from the foundation of the world to be granted the gift of saving faith at some time in their lives that only came from God and not from man in any respect. Again, as we read in Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 11, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. It was not because we did something like believe or choose Him ourselves. It was according to the good pleasure of our will, our choice, our acceptance, our belief? No. The good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have ordained an inheritance. We have obtained, that is, an inheritance, being, once again, predestinated according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of our will? No, His own will. And we read in Matthew 1, verse 21, and she, that is Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save all who accept or believe in Him? No, His people from their sins. No, He did not come to earth to die for everyone. And if you believe that, you do not know the Holy Scriptures, and you have been deceived. He clearly came to only die for and save His elect or chosen ones, who He had chosen and predestinated before the world even came to existence. For as we previously read, He works all things after the counsel of His own will, including having died for only His people. So, not only did Christ not die for everyone, but it is also not up to anyone but God as to who becomes eternally saved and who does not. As God wanted to make it clear to all His true disciples, He said in John 15, 16, "You have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit." So where are those who say, "How can you say these things when you're not ordained? You're not ordained in the church. How can you even speak such things in authority?" "Because I wasn't ordained by the hands of men. I was ordained by Christ, by God alone, Now, there are many more false teachings and practices which crept into the Christian church. And because the Holy Spirit began to be removed from all the Christian churches on May 21, 1988, at the end of the church age, the beast was able to spiritually kill the elect or the saints in the churches by silencing them in one way or another. And so the elect or saints no longer had the power in battle to overcome all the lies and deceptions being brought forth by the counterfeit Christ, also called the man of sin. Okay, the man of sin doesn't mean he's a man. That's what those people teach, that don't compare Scripture with Scripture with Scripture with Scripture and look up every word in the Bible to see how God defines it and looks up everything to do with whatever the topic is in the Bible to get the full scope and to see things clearly. Satan is the counterfeit Christ, also called the man of sin, the Antichrist. He is the true Antichrist, the son of perdition. He's also called that, the abomination of desolation, which are all names for Satan himself, who had taken up his seat of rule in the whole temple or house of God, that is in the whole Christian church. Not just the Catholic Church, but every Christian church worldwide, including in God's whole church. Included in God's whole church. And he did that by September 7th of 1994 of the Great Tribulation, which ran from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. And now let's refresh our minds on our verse of study once again, Revelation 13, verse 7. It reads, "And it was given unto him," that is unto the beast, "to make war with the saints and to overcome them." So, how did the beast, that is Satan, his demons, counterfeit Christians and unsaved people, make war or battle with the saints, that is the true believers in the church? Well, they spiritually killed the saints in the churches by silencing them, as if they had been cast out of the church by ignoring them, removing them from ministry, separating from them, giving them no standing in the church, calling them false prophets, treating them badly, looking down upon them, or even in some cases, physically casting them out of the church. The saints even suffered greatly by spiritual attacks by Satan and his fallen angels. It was the fulfillment of the time that Christ spoke of when he said to his followers, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does God's service." Notice how being cast out of the synagogues is equated to being killed, which refers to being spiritually killed by being silenced and not by being physically killed. This is how the elect or saints were killed during the Great Tribulation. It was the same as if they had been cast out from the churches and therefore killed, because they were silenced in the churches as if they had actually been cast out of the church or killed. And you can click on Revelation 11. Verses 7 through 10 for more information on God's saints, the two witnesses being killed in the churches. Indeed, the beast made war against the saints in the churches by spiritually killing them, which was the silencing of them from proclaiming the truth in power. Then the beast also made war against the elect or saints in the churches by all the various false teachings, false practices, and false gospels that the beast had infiltrated the churches with, that the saints tried to battle against, but they had no power to overcome. For God had withdrawn His Holy Spirit from all the churches, so that the saints just had no power any longer in the church, with the Holy Spirit being absent therein. Though the Holy Spirit was present still within them, the Holy Spirit was not present in the whole church. Instead, the true believers were spiritually oppressed by Satan, his demons, and the counterfeit Christians and unsaved people who were all a part of the beast. Perhaps I can even share my own personal story during that time with you sometime in much more detail than I ever have before. It wasn't a pleasant time for me. Satan attacked me, attacked my family, my marriage. I went through divorce at that time. My wife, who had claimed to be a Christian, ran off with some guy. She blamed me on being abusive and had me thrown out of the house, out of my own house. I had to live in my car for quite some time. And I went through much more things, including being thrown out of my job, thrown out of a Christian school, thrown out of a public school system. And I had to suffer many things. Anyway, God used the beast to chastise and discipline His own saints, the true believers in the churches, to force them to seek Him by turning more fully to the Holy Scriptures in prayer, which is how God brought them to see that they had been being commanded to depart out from all the churches. And until they did, all the sins of the church, not just the sins of their own particular churches, but even all the churches and denominations worldwide, for they were all part of God's single corporate church. Like their many false teachings, their many false practices, their idols, their much spiritual fornication with the world, and their many false gospels, which are the false Christs that the true Christ had warned about almost 2,000 years ago, were also accounted to them, lest they depart out. Yes, what God abandoned the church to bring His final judgment upon them beginning on May 21, 1988, His saints that still remained in the churches were battled or warred against, and they were overcome to chastise them unto repentance and to depart out from all the now wickedly considered by God churches, or they too would be consumed by God's wrath. And due to their Heavenly Father having chastised them, that is the saints, in all the churches during the Great Tribulation, they finally departed out to escape the wrath of God before that same wrath of God also would come upon the whole world, which it did on May 21, 2011. And the world is now being destroyed just like the churches were destroyed. Those in power and authority that God has given the power and authority, they're taking away the rights of the people. They're saying things that are lies, deceptive words like Satan said in the church. They're deceiving people through the mainstream media, brainwashing them. The same thing that Satan did to the people in the churches. Anyway, if you are still in any church or denomination today, God's wrath is upon you. And all the sins of the church are now your sins, on top of all your own personal sins. For God is no longer giving grace to any of the churches worldwide, except, of course, to the eternal church, which are the small remnant who were once in the worldwide corporate church, but are no longer. For the church age is over, and they obeyed Christ to depart out before Judgment Day came upon the whole world on May 21, 2011. And you can click on Why Leave All Churches to see why they departed out. Indeed, as our verse in study declares, the beast was given by God to make war with the saints and to overcome them. It was a time when God seemed to have forsaken his true remnant. But of course, he did not forsake them forever, but he chastised them as a loving father would do to his true children to cause them to repent from their sins of which they shared in by just being a part of the sin-filled corporate church, which included all the Christian churches worldwide upon whom God brought his judgment beginning on May 21, 1988 at the end of the church age. For judgment had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. And during the first part of the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to September 7, 1994, when the latter rain began outside of any church, the elect's repentance led to their eyes being opened to obey Christ's command to depart out from all the churches into exile in Babylon, the world, to escape God's wrath upon all his Christian churches worldwide until the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in comes. And the saints, in their newly given incorruptible and sinless bodies, are commanded by Christ to return to the true promised land and heavenly Jerusalem, in the new incorruptible and eternal heaven and earth, created by the remains, or from the remains of this earth. Those who have still remained in any church will be cast in the lake of fire. If you're still attending a Christian church, certainly by the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in, it is certain that you will be cast in to the lake of fire along with the beast, that is Satan, his demons, the billions of counterfeit Christians, and the billions of unsaved people in the world. Now, the last part, let's look at the last part of Revelation 13, verse 7. It reads, "And power was given him," that is, given the beast, "over all kindreds and tongues and nations." The word here translated as him in the sentence, "and power was given him," is better translated as it, since the beast is not him or her, but the beast must be it. For remember, the beast consists of Satan, his fallen angels, the counterfeit Christians, and the unsaved, which are males, females, and also spirits that have no sex. The Greek language would allow for he, she, or it, but common sense demands that him, that is the beast, be translated as it. And I went over that to some degree before. Therefore, our verse best reads, "And power was given it," that is, given the beast, "over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Next, the Greek word exousia, translated as power, can just as well be translated as authority. So our verse can now read, "And power or authority was given it," that is, given the beast, "over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Furthermore, since each of the three different Greek words translated as kindreds, tongues, and nations are not plural in the Greek, but they are singular nouns, even though the King James Version translates them as plural nouns, and the two different Greek words translated as kindreds and tongues can also be translated as tribe and language, respectively. And the Greek word translated as all in the prepositional phrase over all kindreds and tongues and nations can just as well be translated as every. Our verse is more precisely or literally translated, and power, or we could say authority, was given it, that is given the beast, over every kindred, singular, or tribe, singular, and tongue, singular, or language, singular, and nation. Now, why does God list three different things, every tribe, language, and nation, that the beast was given authority or power over? Well, by now, if you've followed my studies to any degree, you should know that the number three in the Bible can symbolize the purpose of God. And you can click on Bible number three to see that. And so by God using three different words to basically represent the same thing, namely every people, regardless of their kindred language or nation, God wants to emphasize that it was for his own purpose that the beast was given authority or power over every people. And staying in the context of Revelation chapter 13, which is the Great Tribulation, that brought God's judgment upon all the churches worldwide, we are being told that the power or authority was given the beast by God over all the people in the churches. And to have authority or having authority or power over all the people in the churches, even to this day, means that just as a puppeteer can make his puppets apparently think, do, and say whatever he desires, so the beast, that is Satan, his demons, counterfeit Christians, and the unsaved, could do the same to all the people in the churches during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, and even to this day. Satan became and still is the puppeteer of all the Christian churches and denominations worldwide. And as long as you remain in your church, you will continue to be fed a strong delusion by Satan and God, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. But Christ has charge over his remnant, over his saints, and they have departed out from all the churches worldwide in obedience to escape God's wrath therein and to now proclaim God's wrath on the entire world, as well as still on all the Christian churches worldwide. Ever since Judgment Day, which consists of many days, began on May 21, 2011. Well, let's conclude this study. We saw that during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, the beast was given by God to make war with the saints, who we found are the elect or true believers in Jesus Christ, for only they have had all their sins, past, present, and future sins, paid for through the death and resurrection of Christ. And, according to God's law, they are therefore accounted as sinless, and thus they are holy ones, or saints, not based on anything that they have done, but based on completely on what Christ has done for them on the cross. They did not make themselves saints because of the good deeds that they had done and the judgment of any church or people or person, but they became saints by the works that Christ did on their behalf. And it is Christ also who then does the good works through his saints. Therefore, no saint should ever be venerated, overly focused upon, or lifted up because of their good works. For any good work is not of them, but of Christ alone. This is why St. Paul said of himself, Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I, because I'm crucified, but Christ lives in me. And he is the one who works the good works through me. So, although Christ should be venerated, prayed to, and worshipped. For all the good works of the saints are the good works of Christ himself working through them. And so the saints are nothing, but Christ is everything. So repent and take down your pictures and statues of Mother Mary or any other saint. Stop praying to Mary or any other saint. Throw away your St. Christophers or emblems of any other saints. These things are an abomination to God. In fact, the scriptures tell us, and I don't remember that exact scripture reference, but I remember generally what it states, that it's in the Ten Commandments, that one is not to make an image of anything that is in heaven or below the earth. They're not even to make such images. And the dead saints, they're in heaven. You're not to make any image or picture or statue of them. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Oh, by the way, the Catholic Church changed that commandment and switched it and translated it in such a way that they can get around that. Because the fact is, they make a lot of money from the selling of statues and images. Anyway, in our study, we next learned how the beast, that is Satan, his demons, his counterfeit Christians, and unsaved people, made war with the saints during the Great Tribulation, with the Holy Spirit having had departed from all the churches beginning on May 21, 1988, to allow for the beast to whom God had given power to completely take over the church as God's judgment against them. The saints, that is the elect, therein were not strong enough to overcome all the false teachings, false practices, false Christians, and false gospels that had infiltrated all the Christian churches to one degree or another in leading up to and into the Great Tribulation. In fact, the saints, that is the elect, were spiritually killed by the silencing of them in the Christian churches through spiritual oppression by Satan and his fallen angels, and by the saints being ignored, being looked down upon, being called false prophets, being separated from, being given no standing, being not allowed ministry, and in some cases, being cast out of their churches. Even to this day, in one way or another, the church's world, in one way or another, the saints, that is, were silenced and not allowed to bring the truth by power in the Christian churches worldwide. And, as we shall see in a future study of Revelation chapter 13, only those who had received that mark of the beast were able to teach or declare in the church. And even that is even true to this day. Only those who have the mark of the beast can declare with power in the churches, because the Holy Spirit is no longer there, is a big reason. And they, the elect, the saints, they don't have the mark of the beast. This is a spiritual mark, by the way. Not some physical mark they're going to receive in the future. Although that may happen in order to bring forth God's strong delusion on those who are still in the churches to believe such a thing. That's why the elect, the saints, they can't speak or come into the churches. The churches don't welcome them or what they stand for. The churches would not want them there. They would cast them out, even to this day. And now that same judgment has come upon the world. So the true saints, they can't find anywhere to declare the truth, like a major media outlet or something that would help them to declare and get out the truth. That's just not happening. The truths are removed by God. The things that are popular these days in the church or in the world are an abomination to God. God is letting the delusion and all the false things loose into the world. And that's why it's not being made well known as it should be that God's judgment is on the world. That we're at the end. This world is soon to end. The churches don't even know that. Anyway, we then saw in our study that the beast was given power by God over all kindreds and tongues and nations during the Great Tribulation, which simply means that the beast was given authority over all peoples. In particular, all the unsaved or counterfeit Christians in the Christian churches worldwide of all kindreds and tongues and nations. And the reason that God defines all peoples by three different words, kindreds, language, and nations, is to emphasize that it was the very purpose of God for the beast to be given power or authority over all the unsaved people in and even outside the Christian churches worldwide during the Great Tribulation. Like a puppeteer, the beast was able to cause the counterfeit Christians in and outside of the churches to think, say, and do whatever he wanted. And God is still allowing this to take place even to this day, to continue his wrath against the church and to also bring his final judgment against the entire world ever since May 21, 2011. Finally, we learn that the reason why God gave the beast to make war against the saints, that is the true believers, and to overcome them was because by being a part of the Christian churches worldwide as one external body with them after God had abandoned them by removing from them his Holy Spirit, beginning on May 21, 1988, they shared in the sins of the churches. And so God used the beast to chastise or discipline his true people unto repentance, and then he called them out of all the churches to escape the wrath upon them. And they have remained outside of the churches even to this day, and will do so until Christ commands them to return to the new Jerusalem in heaven, even as King Cyrus of Persia, who was a type of Christ that conquered Babylon in 539 BC, a type of this world to be conquered on the last day by Christ himself, made the command for ancient Israel who were exiled in Babylon due to their sins to return to their earthly Jerusalem. Read Ezra chapter 1. But that is another study in itself. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.